This is Scott Bevan from White Ninja Comics, and you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. This is Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me is Aaron of TBullComic.com.
Oh yeah!
Tanya is out this week doing something I forgot. Perhaps after she's been on the Gig Cast, maybe she's a little bit too good to come back on our show. But this week we are going to be talking about crossovers, and also more specifically, the 2007 Crossover Wars. And with us, we have Hogan of the Webcomic Cameo and Crossover Archive. Hello.
Hey.
Welcome. And also we have Reindeer of the Rogues of Cludron from ROCR.net. Welcome.
Hey there. Hi.
We also have Gothia once again back on the show. She does American Gothic Daily at AmericanGothicDaily.com.
Yes, I have got the new website up.
It's really good because with ComicGenesis.com after that always made it just too damn long. Also, via somebody's typing really loudly. Anyway, we also have, via email, we have T-Phil, who is also working on the Crossover Wars. He was the artist for the antagonist comic of the series, and that was Evil Overlords United. We'll talk about that in just a bit, but first off, Hogan.
Yeah, that's me.
Can you attempt to tell us what the Crossover Wars was all about?
Was it all about? Let's just say, though, it was a very stupid idea that somehow made it through. It was about making comics that not just made one crossover, but made several crossover in which the characters, not the other comics, but decided to take them over. So simply, we got one comic wanting to take over all the known comics. And somehow this spread to about 50 comics over a time span of about 9 months. Crazy project, yes.
And do you happen to know how many individual comics were eventually involved in the whole thing?
Oh, I think it's about 50. About 50 comics were in the end involved. Some with only one or two strips, others with... I think except for the two main comics, Cameo Comics and the Evil Overlords United, the Rogues of Clyde Run was one of the most participating comics. But we have others who participated with 70, 100, a whole lot of strips.
Yes, it was quite an endeavor, to say the very least.
It was.
And... But why do we do this? Why must we have crossovers? What draws us to see other characters mingle with other characters of other comics? Does anybody have an answer?
It can be done.
It seemed like a lot of fun at the time.
Seemed like a lot of fun, definitely. And in general, are crossovers something that any of you guys normally see in webcomics? I know we see a lot of cameos, a lot of one-offs, people liking other comics and putting theirs in. But
yeah, tell me about it.
You would know, being having an archive all for it. But
yeah, that's why.
But actual crossovers, aren't they a bit rare, actually, where both involved comics are actually doing something together?
Depends on the circles you move in, really. Rogues of Cludron has been a crossover magnet with, the monk thing from a couple of years before, the framed Great Escape back in 2001.
Yep.
And I think within Keenspot particularly, you had a lot of crossovers. You had Clan of the Cats versus Elflife versus Alice. You had Clan of the Cats, College Roomies from Hell, and probably a couple more. So, you know, I thought they were quite common. Or at least it used to be back in 2000, 2001. Maybe it's different now.
I think it comes down to they're a lot more common in webcomic communities.
Yeah.
Where people get to know each other a bit more. I think I see anyway, at least I see a lot of cameos, but a lot of the Drunk Duck comics, comics hosted there, I see multiple references to other Drunk Ducks, specifically like Magical Misfits, Life and Death, the Kamiks. Frequently have characters from other Drunk Duck webcomics in there, I know that.
Yeah, the three of them are using the characters, each other's characters, so much that they have tried the difficulties finding out whose characters is it.
Yeah.
who do they belong to? I know Steve from Life and Death, he's listed in the Magical Misfits character gallery because he's been there so much that they consider him a character in his own right.
Mm-hmm. Canon as part of this universe. And Reindeer, I know you've had a few as well, and even with the crossover wars, you've actually made an entire storyline for your characters, your main characters, and actually I think you combined two different of your comics into one. You had the
yes, try again.
The Witch. Man, I forget.
The Chronicles of the Witch Queen.
Yes.
Which is itself kind of a collective endeavor because it's me and Geir Strøm from Norway and Daniel Østfold, a Norwegian painter and cartoonist. That's basically a permanent crossover between Rogues of Clwyd Ran and the characters that they've created.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's featured on the Chronicles of the Witch Queen site.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogues of Clwyd Ran, of course, has these characters which intermingle in that universe as a matter of course, and they seem to fit. You know, they had the kind of, especially Countess Alkidia had the level of ambition that somebody would need in order to form a pact with the evil overlords. I think it was Hogan's idea though, and he didn't know which characters were from Rogues of Clwyd Ran and which were from Chronicles of the Witch Queen originally.
I had a little problem finding out because you got them all listed in your character gallery.
Yeah, I do that all the time, by the way. The characters from the framed Great Escape are listed on my cast page. And some characters, Scale is listed now, Rogue Nightmare is. A whole bunch of them, all of them as drawn by me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I had a separate storyline for it was basically because I got wise after the Great Escape. Because, you know, the Great Escape suffers from terrible link rot. And in fact, the entire project sort of collapsed a week before before it was due to end.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Keenspot sites went out and some of the art was never recovered. And then No Stereotypes, which was in my part of the crossover, sort of vanished for a couple of years, as it does. And I had to retrieve those comics and put them on my own site. And since then, Silicone V, which also was part of my section of the Framed Great Escape, also disappeared. And the domain was actually replaced by a porn site, so I got complaints from readers that I was linking to this hardcore porn.
I have no comment.
Sure you do.
I know you didn't do it, Gunther.
Well,
that's one of the problems with the webcomics. If one side disappears, you miss half of the story sometimes.
True.
Yeah.
And
I always get a tickle because every time somebody, you know, changes and upgrades, because I went from Comic Genesis to my own site. And of course, the first thing I hear out of Hogan is, gee, thanks, now my links I have to change.
Hey, guilty as charged.
But I think at the bottom of all this crossover and cameo stuff, we really do need to pat Hogan on the back, because he was the little super genius behind it all. He was the person that got so many people together in one spot. And the fact that he does maintain these archives to get more communication between different communities, because I was so stuck in Comic Genesis because I'd been part of the chat community there,
mm-hmm.
That I really didn't know anyone from Drunk Duck. And, you know, through Hogan, I met people, and the different communities come together. So I want to just take this little time to just pat him on the back. He's a wonderful, wonderful person in the community.
Yeah.
Oh,
sweet. You can't see me now, but I'm blushing.
I bet you are. There's one thing about crossovers that are always interesting, and crossovers anywhere, like TV, movies, whether or not I talked to Mort, who does Project Adam, who also created one of the evil overlords, which was Maximus Catnap, which was a cat character that was bent on, you know, hating humans, and also he had a crossover with my comic and wanted to kick my ass. I talked to him about it, and he was bringing up the idea that, you know, sometimes there's fictional crossovers where if you try to actually cross over, make it casual without any sort of like explanation, you kind of got to work in the different rules of each world together. And a lot of times that doesn't work. Like on TV, if you got like the X-Files mixed in with some other police program or whatever, it's like, well, if in one show there are no aliens, in one show there are aliens, you got a conflict of interest there. If you just keep it taboo and don't bring it up, well, maybe it's not as much of an issue. Otherwise, it may be considered as a fictional crossover where it's just for fun, or you're just not supposed to think of it too hard or whatever. I'm curious, how many people from the crossover wars actually consider it canon? I know in PSI, I consider it canon, but Reindeer, what about your thing? Do you consider it canon, or like kind of a fictional crossover where it's kind of like just an all separate story?
Well, I sat on the fence for that for a little while, but by now it's definitely canon. I mean, what's going to happen next in this epilogue that I'm writing and drawing, mm-hmm. to the invasion storyline, that's absolutely going to have consequences for, you know, the overall story arc. So it's canon. No ifs and buts about it.
I think this is one of the things that's easier to put into canon, because the story was, in its own way, very brilliant. Because you're putting an outside source who can view different comics and different comic universes and juggle that. I know, like, the Mind Mistress universe, she's very logic-based, no magic, but you can still have other magic universes that don't conflict with hers, mm-hmm. because the way the whole was rather brilliant for that.
Yeah, it's a matter of being able to explain it in a different way to make it fit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And to have rules specified in advance, because there was this whole section of the crossover where characters had webcomic awareness. You know, they knew they were in a webcomic, which is a big no-no for my comic. So that was basically one of the conditions on which I took part.
Right.
No webcomic awareness in Roads of Cluedron. Mm-hmm. And that's worked. That's worked out fine.
Yeah.
That
was a major part of the crossover wars was, I'm told another word for it is called novel awareness. It's where your created characters understand that they're essentially fictional characters in a story that some creator is creating. That was a huge part of the crossover wars, and... we even got, what was it, the repository for Dangerous Things to come out of retirement for a little bit and supply us with a bottle of webcomic awareness that was spread around.
Yeah, it was. It had been hidden there to be kept safe. And since the comic went at Hunters, it was pretty much safe right until the Wars found it.
Yep.
And yes, they did come over here just for the Wars making. I think she made 6 strips to explain this chapter.
I made her a strip as well. I had a strip with Jenny Everywhere in there. And she put it on the site, so that was nice. Aaron, do you have a question?
Yeah, so did you guys have to start coming up with separate plot devices for how your characters could meet? Because when I would do guest strips, I had to start coming up with plot devices just for characters to even meet, so they weren't just plopping up in each other's worlds. When I would read the whole entire archive, their world would be completely different. And so we kind of mentioned it a little bit, but how did you guys make plot devices for your characters to meet in the first place?
Well, I had mine more or less ready, at least the one that allowed my characters to get out, which was Nomian Transports, which was an old idea that I had, a kind of magic that runs on conspiracies. That had been in the comic for ages and ages. Of course, people coming in from the outside, they did that using their own means. What was it called again, Hogan?
Well, Scale came from her own abilities, comic jump. She can jump through the comics.
Yeah, she had this bracer.
Yes, the bracer was just to help her control her skills. She jumped randomly in the beginning of the Wars. And she managed to tune in on the Rogues because it has been in so many crossovers that the lines of crossing over was so thick that she couldn't tune in on them and get there.
Yeah.
And she did, but he couldn't leave again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about plot devices. We didn't need any plot devices, actually, because we had so many means of transportation.
The plot devices for some of them were kind of they're fourth wall breaking plot devices, which kind of they're excused from being in comic plot devices, because eventually it became Scale got a bracelet that the evil overlords, the antagonist comic, had broken the technology and made bracelets of themselves, so which created crossover portals, which you could go from comic to comic. And this was a matter of if your comic was webcomic aware, that, you know, it's a crossover portal, or if it's not aware, it's just a mysterious portal. I know in the webcomic Candy, there was a crossover there where they had the portals come up. It wasn't announced that it was a comic crossover portal. It's just a mysterious portal. So you can, it's kind of a bit lazy or something like that. I don't know, but it's so easy. Just, ooh, mysterious portal. And that's enough of a plot device, I guess.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it lazy.
Well, no.
I wouldn't call it lazy. I would say highly customizable.
Yeah.
Because every artist and creator then could customize the level of what they wanted for each comic. And that was very good to make so many comics come together. You know, Cameo Comic, we all knew what was going on. The characters knew, you know, us artists knew in our own way. But then you're right. I mean, in comics like Candy, the character and the creator could, you know, make it very vague. And it was very easy to make it that way. It was very customizable. I don't think there's that option in a lot of other crossovers, because the stories are not vague enough. They're not. Someone gets an idea and they want to run it that way and that way only, and then it causes some conflict. But this was very open ended, and it was very easy going, and it was able to get more people on board.
There were even a few other modes of transport, like in the Rogues, you had the Nomian teleport, as it was, and I think in the Kamiks there was another device which actually required two pillars or two beacons to be set up to cause a portal to be opened. So that was another method that also was in Courtland as well, that it was used, which is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. What were some of the other ways?
That one was very visual.
What was that?
I think we had the four ways. The Gnomian portals. We had Scales, comic jumping abilities. We had the Draco. That was the Evil Overlord's major connective crossover world device. And we had the Smog, S-M-O-G portals from the comics. Yeah. That was the four major ways we used for transportations.
I like the beacons. They were very visually interesting. They were, you know, you could notice them in any environment, really. They stuck out like a sore thumb in the medieval environment or in a modern environment. So right. They were actually a pretty good plot device, and they didn't need a lot of explaining, which is, plot devices are just there. Mm-hmm.
And it was really technical, so it was a science aspect as well.
There's a fifth way of transportation we missed. Mind Mistress.
Yeah.
Mind Mistress had a catwalk. Mm-hmm. She always had it, but she used it here to walk from comic to comic to help defeat the overlords.
And don't forget Jenny Everywhere's way of moving around. It's kind of mysterious. She just shows up where she's needed.
It's a little bit kind of like Scale, only we probably didn't bring this. Scale is the main protagonist of Cameo Comic, in case that wasn't brought up. So she's supposed to be essentially one of the big heroes of the whole thing, one of the main protagonists. Jenny Everywhere is similar to what we've been talking about, Scale's ability, only with Jenny Everywhere, it's been more so world to world or dimension to dimension instead of comic. We can talk more about that after the break, but real quick before we go, I wanted to mention there was also another thing that could be used as a transport, as if, depends on the webcomic you go to, but if the author themselves of the comic that you're talking about was able to put them into another comic, that was also another option that I had, particularly for my comic. Because an author can do this. The characters can't. And it was a matter of individualizing the characters to have their own consciousness and abilities and realization, thus the webcomic awareness. Without the author's help, they're limited to the rules of their comic and what they learn and what they can do. At least that was what I was going for anyway.
I think you did.
Okay, everyone's all quiet. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I don't know, more stuff.
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcasts, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
And we're back. Let's see here. We're talking about a couple.
Yay!
Talking about a couple little things during the break. One of the things faced with doing the crossover wars for the extent and the amount of involvement that it took, burnout and other problems were inevitable to happen. And Gothia, you essentially took over as the main artist for Cameo Comic. And that's why you were doing, your main comic and Cameo Comic. As a person,
yes.
as someone who was working on one of the main comics, one of the overall driving comics for the crossover wars, tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, now that I can look back on it, I think it's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me comic-wise, because I had just started my own comic, let's see, in October, and Hogan needed someone to replace Caitlin while she was doing her finals, and I was there. I just happened to be there, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Well, it wound up being a really steep learning curve, and it really pushed my art level up a lot. I'm really glad I did it. It wound up being 2 pages a day for 5 days a week. And, of course, I thought I was just going to be replacing Caitlin for, you know, 2-3 weeks while she went through finals, and it wound up being 9 months. You know, there were some frustrations about it, but looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. I was really happy to do it, to really push my art skill to produce that fast. Was wonderful, and it's definitely led me to the art level I'm at now. But yeah, there were some frustrations because, you know, your communication is vital, and when someone says, well, yeah, I'll be back in a week, and then they don't come back that week, contact them, and yeah, I'll be back in a week or two, I need 2 more weeks, and you wait, and they don't come back. That part was frustrating. But if you keep your communication lines open, there were times that I'd say, oh, my gosh, I can't do this tonight. But if I get it in tomorrow, will that be okay? And Hogan was able to let me have several delays there, you know, just trying to hustle and get everything in. And we would. We finally got stuff in at the last minute. So it worked out good. It worked out good.
You made it. You made it very well.
Yeah, we made it.
That's awesome.
You made it.
There's still what? 4 or 5 pages that need to be done for Cameo Comic at
Six.
The end. We've got artists who've agreed to do them, but they're still not turned in yet.
No. I wanted to help, but then it's like, I don't want to draw that many characters. And I tried to...
If I had known exactly what I was stepping into, I don't know if I would have said yes. I mean, I'm glad I did it. But at the time, if I had been told, well, Aggie, you're going to be doing this for 9 months, you're going to have to draw, you know, 35 to 40 different characters from X number of comics, you're going to have to talk to this number many people, you're going to have to, you know, proofread and do this. And do, I mean, if I would have just gone, are you crazy? Am I getting paid for this? I think one time we figured up how much I would have gotten paid for it if I just paid minimum wage, and it would have been like $3,500. I said, okay, Hogan, fork over my money.
Your check's in the mail.
Yeah, my check's in the mail. But it also boosted my own comic, and that was a really good blessing, too, because being new, you know, most people who start a comic, they never make it past 20-30 readers a week, and being involved in this community and getting... The publicity that did happen, I mean, my comic jumped up to 500, 600 readers a week. And that's been really helpful.
Well, that's awesome. I'm sure that happened with a lot of comics out there as well. That got people just, you know, notice other comics. They catch on and, hey, I like this. Or you know, they may not like it, but it certainly can drive up the traffic a lot for many people who are involved in these projects. And I tried to get him on the show, but he's busy at work and he couldn't get off. But via email, I got T. Phil, who's the artist for the antagonist comic, Evil Overlords United. And I have some questions and answers here to read. And I'm just going to go over them. First, I ask him to tell. I ask him to tell me, tell us a bit about his webcomic experience in general, like at the beginning and where he is now. He says his only webcomic experience has been with Volet, which is his webcomic at volet.comicgenesis.com. But it was on Lined Sheets. That was way back when he was in high school, 1996 is when he started like that. And right now on the internet, the Volet is now 6 years running and it was soon. And his current webcomic project is a character's prologue from the Evil Overlords United cast, and that's going to be about 1 year coming up here. I move on to ask him how much experience with the cross did he have with crossovers before the crossover wars, and if he was a fan. He said the only crossover he did before was with an extended, constant cameo from a Treasure Hunters, the Melissa character. He followed the Great Framed Escape as well, so he was a bit of a fan of crossovers at the time. And I asked him if he was excited when he was approached to be a part of the major antagonist of the crossover wars. And he says he admits at first that he was confused because Hogan from the Crossover Archives and Senshi from Circle of Arcadia asked him to help draw the second comic for their secret project. The more Hogan explained of what was asked of him, the more he thought, "Phil, you've got a movie to animate for school. Do you really think you could sacrifice a little bit more sleep and you'll get part of this huge done?" And so, but you know, he said yes, and he accepted it, but he said yes, but it was in French because, you know, he's French. So moving on, I'm going to try to cover these quicker. I asked him to tell about the characters from the Evil Overlords. He said the first there was only five overlords: Deception, Catastrophe, Fellback, Celine, and the Editor. And each of them had a basic description of their role, and he had to develop their look based on that. Fellback was designed and drawn already by Caitlin Woods, and Nett already had the design for the Editor, which is his alternate persona, I guess. And basically just made him look eviler. For Deception, he drew the basic elf and added a little bit. Catastrophe, he already had a mental image for. And for Celine, he actually based her off of a classmate he found pretty cute. And then he also created a character named Zworg, which is this little kind of a runt guy that's kind of like a little mini demon that evolves throughout the comic. That was one of his own creations. And after the crossover wars were over, he started making a webcomic, which was a prologue. You'll learn a little bit about where Zworg came from, and hopefully we're going to see how this ties into the beginning of the crossover wars and Evil Overlords United in the coming 2 months, I guess.
I've worked on the prologue with Deception as well, and I think what had happened for all of us was when we realized that it was finally over. About a week went by, and suddenly things seemed very quiet and very silent because we'd been spending hours talking about plots and ways to tie things in. And we would spend a lot of time online chatting, just trying to pull things together. And after a week of it, it's like, we can't let these guys die. We had become so attached to these characters and loved them so much that we just can't seem to let them go. And so I know with Zorg, that was T-Phil's particular favorite. Deception was mine. We've all, you know, we just can't seem to let them go after they've become such a big part of our lives. It's hard.
Amen. Catnap was my favorite character. I tried to see if I could get him to be in PSI a little bit more, but Mort had other plans, and he kind of likes how it ended. I'm not going to tell anybody in case they feel like going through, 1,500 comics to figure out what happens. But so we're going to leave that at that. I'm going to skip the rest of it since it's stuff that we've kind of already talked about, but he enjoyed doing it. I know that. And so obviously because he's still making a prologue for one of the characters, so... Now, okay.
I think in the end we all enjoyed it.
Oh yeah.
No matter what we said, no matter how much work it was, I think we enjoyed it in the end.
But
I'm still enjoying it myself, really, because I still enjoy working on this epilogue myself, and I still check back for new updates because a few comics were running behind. Pimpette was running behind, still hasn't caught up. for example.
Yeah.
I'm still looking out for those.
Yeah, we're still missing some parts here and there, and there's one storyline which probably never will get a proper ending, and we've got the Cameo comic still missing 6 or 7 strips.
Which storyline will never get a proper ending?
The Adult Wars. We never get a proper ending for it.
Well, maybe
all the comics involved.
Who cares? They're porn. Nobody reads them for the plot anyway.
Yeah.
We'll be amazed if you saw the hit list. We'll be amazed.
Yeah, we should probably mention this. Should have thought of this. It's kind of hard to think about this because it's so complicated. Now, crossover wars were broken into several smaller other wars, you know, or battles, I guess, such as Fantasy Wars, Super Wars, as well, Prawn. And then there was the Scale's Tale, which followed mostly through Scale, where she went, and that was mostly a Cameo comic. Evil Overlord's Chronicles, it's the EOU's ventures through other comics. The Squirrel Wars, which is it almost kind of died, I guess, because apparently there was a miscommunication with Candy for part of it. And then PSI came in there and snagged me for a bit longer portion than I anticipated. And
we couldn't get rid of you again.
You needed me.
We did. No problem there. You saved that part. And yes, there was some miscommunication. I'll take it all on my shoulders for that one.
Oh, well we worked it out. And there was also a Forum Wars part where there was role-playing going on in like the Elgunashive forums and the College Roomies from Hell Forum. Was that what it
yep.
was?
Yeah.
It was.
There's just a lot. You can go to crossoverwars.dragoneers.com. You can kind of see there as well. And because, you know, anyone who's known me from the show knows that I'm an idiot. And when I get an idea, I don't think about how much work is going to cost me. And I was just getting to Jenny Everywhere at this point. And I was like, ooh, Jenny Everywhere would be totally perfect for this. And I couldn't just let it go. I just had to start a new comic. So I started the Jenny Everywhere and the Crossing Over Worlds, which, you know, Crossover Wars. And I was trying to be creative. I had that come in there and essentially created a very big character for my webcomic. And also it led to me creating the Shifter Archive because I was just getting so into it. But... it's just it's fascinating, and I just love this. As a reader, I know I love it, and as a webcomic creator, I love this. But I know that we got some complaints from readers of various comics because it was just too damn confusing to follow it. So my question is, do you think the creators had more fun with this than the readers?
Absolutely.
To some degree, yes, I think so.
Yeah, probably, on the whole. Though Invasion
will
be popular.
When we go to do this again...
If we go to do this again,
it's not going to be as big as this last one. It can never be as big as the last one. And I suspect that if we do the second one, it will be much more limited in scale. We already now have characters who are very well... psychologically developed, so we can really get to some interesting stories the next time, but I don't think it's ever going to be that big, and hopefully it'll be a lot more fun for the readers. But yeah, we really had a lot of fun with this for ourselves. We do have some fans who are already looking forward to the next one and have been bugging us about it. So I mean, I know some readers did enjoy it probably more than I did. But overall, yeah, I think it was us that really benefited the most from it.
It was fun.
I got a boyfriend out of it.
Let's see here. We got, what was I going to say? Definitely not at the same length, because that's what I think killed a lot of people. But at a smaller scale, there have been, for the past 3 years, the Halloween Cameo Capers. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Hogan?
Well, the Halloween cameo capers was just an idea we came up with back in 2006. And it's not a new idea, because a lot of comics has over the years done a kind of a crossover at Halloween. Mm-hmm. Mostly a group of comics said, "Oh, right, with a Halloween evening, we'll make one. Each of us make one strip where all the characters from all the participating strips have a party." They've been doing that for many years. It's just not official, but it's a very fun way to celebrate Halloween. And in 2006, we said, okay, let's try and make one out of the Dragon Board, the forum attached to the archive and whatever we've been doing. And yeah, some people start signing up to that. And suddenly somebody said, oh, I want to incorporate this party into my comic. And others said, all right, we'll try it again. And suddenly we had about 10 or 12 comics making one huge, smaller crossover, all ending up celebrating Halloween. It was almost as confusion as the wars. But it was back in 2006 and turned out nice. And actually it was that project that told me that, okay, we can do it on a larger scale. We can make the wars.
That's when you lost your mind.
Oh, no, I mean, my mind was lost when I first discovered webcomics. But it was because it was possible to do that on a smaller scale. Okay, we don't know when to stop. It ended up being a very large scale. Mm-hmm. But to get back to the capers, we did it in 2006. It was a huge success. We tried doing it in 2007. It was not that good as a success, but that was because all of those people who signed up for the caper, they were involved in the wars and they were busted.
Yeah.
They were tired. They were exhausted. They've been doing this for 9 months. They couldn't produce anything.
Yeah.
So the 2007 caper was on a very small scale. But we're trying to do this again 2008, and I'll say it looks much, much more brighter. Some comics have already started it,
mm-hmm.
and others are supposed to join in soon. You know about it, Fish. You started already in August.
Yeah, I got to go first. It's pretty cool, and people can see the Halloween Cameo Caper 2008 at halloween2008.dragoneers.com. And I think this one's going to be actually a really fun one. Let's just say it starts in a mall. And we'll just see where it goes from there.
It's Halloween. It's in a mall. What are you going to think I was going to do?
There's going to be a sale on big cookies.
Yeah, let's go there.
Let's see here. Well, we're towards the end of our time talking about the crossovers. We had the chat going. And we also got a Ustream going, a video of me, I guess, eating Arby's. But something I'm going to be thinking about doing in the future. So stay tuned to the Webcomic Beacon for that, especially around October 18th. Does anybody in the chat room have any questions for the panel? Someone named Doggy Dog asks, why do you suck, Hogan?
I don't suck. I blow.
Oh gosh!
that was very mature of this Doggy Dog person.
Yeah, it's K Dog of Angry D Monkey.
I had an inkling of an idea. I'll beat you next time, Dog. I'll get you.
All right. Well, that's it for talking about the crossovers and the crossover wars of 2007. If something happens to come into the future, the Webcomic Beacon will let you know. But for right now, I don't think anybody's really interested in reapproaching the idea. So what it is what it is for right now.
Yeah.
And
another year.
Maybe. We'll see.
At least.
Yeah. And
it burned out.
Yeah. Just to go over everyone who's been here, thanks again, and thanks for coming. We have Hogan of the Webcomic Cameo and Crossover Archive. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
We have Reindeer from the Rogues of Claude Ron from ROCR.net. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on.
And of course, Gothia once again, or Aggie of AmericanGothicDaily.com. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about trading card games.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live.
This is Byron of StripFight.org bringing you the weekly ringside update. The winner of round 174, Arch Enemy, went to Aaron of ChainsawComics.com. Aaron wins and prepares for his greatest challenge yet. This week, our fighters are battling round 175, Death. Stick Boy Bob rolls with the Angel of Death. SWB gets sneaky. Nico returns from the dead. Vince lands a 1-2 punch. Marks the competition down the middle, then gets panned. Tim goes head-to-head with the Grim Reaper, and defending champ Aaron goes it alone. We have 6 contenders entered this round. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 176, Volcano, still has a few days left before the deadline of September 22nd. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
And now, Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
Ahoy, shipmates! Being that Friday be talk like a pirate day, I thought maybe we might have a lookout for some pirate webcomicry. So get your mug of rum and sharpen your cutlasses while we board these here titles. First on the horizon, we have us The Wannabe Pirates by Mark Largent and Mark McCrary. Aye, 'tis a well-hearted tale of some fellers who wanna be pirates, and who can blame 'em? But they don't really know anything about the pirate life, but what as they read out of books, which leads them to all sorts of trouble. You won't need a spyglass to see some of these punchlines coming your way, the same as you don't need to hear a broadside before you know you've been hit by one. Still, they're pretty fair hands at their drawing, and their comic is about pirates. So I say give it a look-see, and maybe you'll be finding some buried treasure in there, matey. Aye, 'tis like I says to old Cap'n Flint. Cap'n Flint, I says, we may have the gold and we may have the room, but if the first mate breaks the cabin, boy, we'll need to put into port for a new one. Then we got us pirates versus ninjas over at Smack Jeeves. I don't know who makes it, 'cause the feller won't own up to it, and 'tis a good thing, too. Now, right off, what do I see but a ninjer getting the better of 2 pirates? Ours if, matey, ours if. Shipmates, I want to lay this scurrilous black lie to rest, I do. There's no way a ninjer can best a pirate. No way some feller running about in some fancy pajamas can win against a pirate. Sure, he may have the sword his pappy gave him and a bad attitude, but that won't stop him from getting a broadside up the backside, if you take my meaning. A little black powder and grape shot will sort out a ninja man every time. Ninjas ain't sailors, neither. So even if this feller were winning, a pirate could just sail away from him. So listen, Mr. Pirate versus Ninja Guy, you best not take a trip down on the Spanish Main, as I know a few old shipmates in Tortuga who might like to have a word or two with thee, and they'll likely want to palaver using cutlasses. Arr! 'Tis like I says to young Jim Orkins. Jim, if you're ever in an apple barrel and looking out the bunghole, be sure someone don't stick their peg leg in there. Now, lass, we come to sails of blood, but Jason Brinsky and Ozzy Longoria. This one's purty to look at for sure, but you'll need more than a compass and a sextant to navigate these waters, on account of their website is worse than the Sargasso Sea to get through. And 'tis about as plain as an empty treasure chest, or a wench with no chest. Still, they've sworn an oath to get their sight ship-shape soon, so fair enough. It's about some evil pirates who use black magic and are pretty fearsome about it to boot. But I was reading the latest page and came across this cap'n fella who says, "Let's send these fools to hell!" Now, 'tis true, we pirates and sailors like our talk salty, but the use of the arf word just doesn't ring true for the times. It's a bit too modern sounding for my tastes. I mean, if you're going to use a modern term for insulting like, why not just call 'em badasses or republicans? No, we pirates and sailors try to be a bit more creative with our phraseology. Like, instead of the arf word, we'd call 'em sons of a scurvy sea hag, or sons of a poxy doxy. Well, let's try it, laddie, and see how it sounds. Here they come! Let's send those hellspawn of the Devil's Cabin boys back to hell! Arr, matey! You see, it sounds more piratey already that way. Listen, me bucko, if you wants to make your palaver sound like pirate talk, you can't just go rent a copy of the Goonies or them Jack Sparrow pictures with that Legolas fella pouncing about in 'em. You gotta do some research and lay your plans according-like. Well, shipmates, I'm off to Jamaica and Portobello and round the horn and who knows where in the seven seas. So scupper your gizzards and mizzen your topsails. Keep the wind at your back and your cabin boy at your front. And good sailing to ye! Arr, 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 arr.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
All right, and we're back. Thanks once again to Hogan, Gothia, and Ranger for coming on the show. With us right now, we've got Mike of Prepare to Die webcomic and also the Wagon webcomic battle trading card game. Welcome.
Yay.
Hello. I'm back.
And what are you back with us? What have you brought us?
What have you brought?
I have brought you many things.
And?
Actually, I don't know. What do I got?
You got an alpha and beta deck presale.
Yay.
Oh, yes. We have that. Yes. It's all here. Yeah. The alpha and beta deck presale has begun.
Yes, are there some even deck zeros still left?
There are. I do have a couple in a nice little box sitting next to me right here, so there are a few of them left. If nobody buys them online, I'll have to take them to a convention or something and toss them around, I guess. But yes, there's a couple left.
Yeah. You can always hold on to them and eBay them later.
Oh, I already have a couple of them set aside beyond the box, so it's okay. We already got all the strategies in. It's all good.
for those that may not be may remember, we've had Mike on before about talk about the Wagon Webcomic Battle, a webcomic themed trading card game, as well as we also had announcement of from the Shifter Archive, a Jenny Everywhere archival website, where we had a contest. You're helping out with a contest for people to draw their Jenny Everywhere card, and the top three people won a place on Wagon Webcomic Battle trading card. The first place won the rare and promotional card status, and the second place is in the alpha deck, and the third place is in the beta deck.
Yeah.
And so the pre-sale is going on now. You got about, 23 days to get in on the pre-sale, and we might be doing a little extra incentive with getting some of those promotional cards out, aren't we?
Oh yeah, we have a couple of those. Right now I'm set up for if you go through and you pre-order Alpha and Beta right now, I'll also toss in one of our newly minted exclusive Kitten of Chaos cards.
Yay!
Excellent.
Wait, what happens if you pre-order both? Do you get two?
No, it's if you do pre-order both.
Oh, okay. Sweet. I'm going to get one anyway, so there.
Me too. I have to order ones because the winners of the Jenny Everywhere Draw to Win contest also win their own deck. The first place will get the zero deck and the special rare card. His own card that he drew. Same thing for the second and third place players. They'll get an alpha deck and a beta deck. Oh, second place will get an alpha, and third place will get a beta deck. So, very exciting. And I've already got some ads up. Ardra's in there. The Best of What's Left is in there. PSI is in there. Who else do we got?
Insert comic here.
Yeah, insert comic here has been included. We also, where am I going through? And the Jenny cards, those are the six that are included in these new sets. We also have included non-limited special edition versions of the Zero Deck cards with some alternate artwork and things that people have sent in. So we still have things from NSTA, we've got things from Prepare to Die, Choken, Sarah Zero, War of the Winds, and Strid Partners are the six from the deck Zero that are in there too.
You know what? I was just thinking of this. So one of the major there's a major effect card that some cards have special contingencies if they're affected, and that's the alcohol card. That's the alcohol effect. You only have one drink out there right now. I think the next time you gotta mix it up. Get some other drinks in there.
Oh, so far, yeah. There's only so many of certain cards, but as we go along and get more cards into the system, yeah, they'll be more and more pronounced. I mean, it's the same thing as a lot of cards were starting to get into attributes on the cards,
right,
of them having fire, or like Future Paladin has a water attribute.
Yay.
Which means that he can't really be hurt by water attacks. It just, he's immune to that. There aren't any water attacks here to hurt him, but in the future, you know, he'll be protected from them. So, right. Yeah, as we get more and more cards in the system, they'll just get more and more powerful over time.
I also have an alcohol card to throw in there as soon as we start expanding on the alcohol universe.
Oh, yes. Eventually we'll get into the other paladins and such, so we can start getting into...
I want to get Reindeer with the Rogues of Cloudron in there and get Dwarven Ale in there.
Yeah.
That would be a real kick-ass drink.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to have one that's root beer, but it's going to be like heavily alcoholic root beer.
You're weird.
It's still going to count. It's all in the terms of the game. It's like, as in the Best of What's Left universe, root beer still counts as alcohol, so it still counts in the game.
Yep.
So it's all fine.
It's going to be awesome.
But, alcohol is one of the attributes that kind of stands out as a little unique among all of them. And yeah, we haven't fully exploited it just yet.
But the rare promotional Jenny card actually has an effect where if she's drunk while shifting, you have to flip a coin. she might just end up shifting to the discard pile.
That's awesome.
I love that.
She can't exactly control her powers all the time. So don't get Jenny drunk. That's the key.
Well, it's cool. It's like a check and balance kind of.
Right.
Yeah, that's the hard part about this entire game is just all of the time spent making sure, okay, every scenario has been covered. If I have this card and this card, how's it going to affect this one? Yeah, it's time consuming. The cards themselves are fairly easy to make. It's all the balancing and checking and adjusting all the powers and everything that takes all the time.
But your crack team of experts is all over it.
Yes, my crack team. I actually have a few beta testers that do help me out immensely that are part of my own forums on unexpo.com that, you know, point a lot of things out and help me flesh out these cards. But yeah, it's just a lot of time and effort.
Well, once I get these two decks, I'm going to start playing, and then I'll be able to beta test for you sometimes.
Alright, well, the problem is, once you get down and start to learn the rules and things, the trick is we need beta testing on cards that don't exist yet. If they're already printed, it's kind of too late.
Yeah.
Well, you can always, print them out on paper and shuffle them in and pretend. And beta test that way. That's probably what I would do.
Yeah, that's actually what we did do. A lot of times, we print out really cheap just on the home printer just to have them and play around with the game just to see how it works. I mean, that's the only way you can test it sometimes is in legitimate actual games. You can't just think of it all off the top of your head, really.
Right.
Never mind that this is a piece of paper cut out. Never mind.
Ooh, I wonder what card this is going to be.
I can't see through it at all, no.
So those are going on right now, and just to throw it in there, I meant to talk about this earlier, but PSI does have a crossover portal card, since we're talking about crossovers. Just want to throw that out because I think it's funny because, I was doing crossovers. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go in that direction that if you really want to think about it, this whole webcomic battle card game is kind of like the ultimate crossover game. I mean, it just doesn't have a story plot, but you have every character on the sun. You can make up your own stories just by playing the game. Really. So it kind of works the same as a crossover. It's just not a comic.
Well, I hope this thing takes off in some way or another. And I think it will, at least on a small scale, but hopefully it'll spread and get bigger, as trading card games, I don't know. I just hope it gets bigger than this just because it's kind of really fun and neat.
It's already taken off in my heart.
So right now the pre-sale is going for about 23 days before they start shipping out. And how much are they?
They're all decks are $10 plus shipping. Even the deck zeros at this point. So yeah, still pick those up while they're still available.
Awesome. And let's see here. We need to move on and cover the rest of our news. You're welcome to stick around. We got milestones to go over.
Yay.
We're going to finish eating this sandwich. Mmm. Arby's cheddar. Mmm.
Those things are horribly sick. Oh, I got some news. I drove by Wendy's today, and they said 99-cent double stacks are back.
Holy.
I was like, I haven't eaten one in over a year and a half, I think, because they took them all out. That's so stupid.
We can count on you to bring in non-webcomic news every time.
Shut up.
Are you sure not some other album or video game is coming out?
Samurai Showdown 2 for the virtual console. Dude, it's freaking awesome.
I'm waiting for Mega Man 9 to come out in a couple weeks.
I know. Oh, yeah. I can't. I thought it was out a long time ago, and they just keep dragging it on. But everyone's hoping that Mega Man 9 opens the door for maybe like a 16-bit Mega Man X or like a 16-bit Sonic the Hedgehog again or something.
Yeah, the classic stuff,
Yeah.
I think it will. It's a cool thing, and a lot of people like to make... It's like people like using like making 8-bit music because it's limited, so you have to be a little bit more creative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we have some questions here.
Oh, you have questions?
No, I was just looking back in the chat room. And
oh.
I just flipped back over and they're asking if I'm paying attention, that's all.
No, I wasn't paying attention. Let's see, we're going to cover some milestones here real quick. First milestone is, let's see here. We have Ripeville at ripeville.com has hit 200 comic strips.
Yay, Ripeville.
That's an interesting looking comic.
I love Ripeville comic. It's awesome.
You do?
Dude, yeah, the fruits are—they're funny and they're always and they're actually—they're drawn, they're drawn really good. It's not minimalistic at all, you know. And I don't know. You don't like fruit?
Oh, well. That's my. I didn't read it. I just get these. Also, insert comic here from Unamused Comics. Well, I guess both of them officially turned 2 years old a couple days ago. So there's that. We also have. Girly at girly with three Y's at the end .com. It hits 600 strips.
Wow.
Commissioned comic hits 4 years. Anders Loves Maria. We had Renee on the show several episodes back. Her comic is hitting 2 years and 200 comics. I think she just hit that actually. Also, man, there was another one that was coming up real soon, too, but I'll get that next week. Do you guys know of any people hitting some milestones really soon?
Me? Not soon enough, though.
Okay. All right. other than that, we have the Beacon Searchlight, which... Oh man, which webcomic was that? I totally had it.
I've got it right here.
Space Heist. That's right. Space Heist at CodeRedComics.com. Did you take a look at this one yet?
I'm still trying to find his comic.
You have to click at the way bottom.
Wait, okay, hold on.
It says first, and then like the first two pages are text on a black background with a black background already in text, and I don't think that's not really a good way. Okay. Yeah, I think we're gonna cut some of this out so it sounds a little bit more professional.
No, I want this to be part of his frickin' whatever he wants. Where the hell do you find his comic?
Go to here. Wait.
Yeah, I know. I'm at webcomicsnation.com/CodeRed. Where's his comic?
It's right there. Just scroll all the way down and click page one to go to the beginning. And then you'll have to click next, or the double arrows, to go forward through text things. And then there's one image and then another text thing that says, written in pencil by Kyle Sanders. And there's another image. And it's, oh boy. Wow, this comic's pissing me off already.
Okay. Hold on, I think I found it. I think I found it. Wait, no, it's just what Jovian means. Okay.
Oh.
Wait, no, it's more text.
It's pretending like it's a freaking TV show or movie or something like that where the whole screen goes blank and it shows you produced by, edited by. Okay, for one, and you have one with the freaking URL. Seriously, this comic is pissing me off. I kind of don't want to read it. Just because of how pain in the ass that was at the beginning. I don't mean to be mean, but as a reader, that would totally piss me off.
Oh my gosh.
But I will say the art looks really good.
Oh, this is so annoying.
It'll be a few.
Does this stupid ass text ever fucking stop?
Yeah, it does. It's oh man, and this was a weekly comic? That would seriously piss me off if I was watching this weekly. Oh man.
All right,
Mike, are you getting in on this?
No, I haven't gone there. I was back in the chat room, and people were talking a little bit. But
let's have the chat room take a look at this.
Yeah, I didn't go through the labyrinth. I didn't go through the labyrinthian method of finding whatever comic this is. Sorry.
Jeez.
But I'll be there now, sure. Let's go check some stuff out.
I only remember one worse one than this, and it's one that Aaron Edwards did. And he was explaining how he couldn't find the comic, and I went to try to find it and couldn't find it either. And then it ended up later that the comic had actually shut down because I think nobody could ever find it. I can't even remember what the comic was about.
Well, hey, doesn't this guy look like Lucas from Control Alt Delete?
Well, this, it kind of, the art kind of reminds me like he's trying to copy off Jump Leads. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
The art looks pretty good. It's a space sci-fi webcomic. If you can get past the I think the most terrible intro ever. it really doesn't help that the black background to the text introducing like being cinematic. It doesn't work very well when your background itself is also black. So there's no contrast. You're like, oh, did the image show up? What's this? What's going on? I definitely would recommend you never, ever do that again.
Well, I also want to throw out there, number one, have your navigation at the top and bottom so you can just skip it if you don't care. Number two, nobody has double arrows for when you're only going to the next page. Double arrows are for if you're going to the end. It implies fast-forwarding on VCRs.
Right. But still, this. But I will say that for a Webcomics Nation site, bravo. Because I really hate Webcomics Nation's sites where they're all just kind of, you can't freaking find the next and previous buttons. And I could tell at least that the arrow meant back and forward because there was a page one and there's a new. So I could understand that. So it wasn't like the navigation is not cryptic as much as I've seen them.
Yep.
You have a very decent, well laid out Webcomics Nation page, and I applaud you for that. It's set up very well. Again, it's fairly young. I mean, it's only a few strips because it only goes back. What, starts in July or something like that?
Yeah.
But so it's still new, still getting out there. Aside from the intro, it looks like you got a good strong basis going here for a space adventure. But we're gonna have to see how it unfolds as well. But good art. But other than that, yeah, you kind of already heard how her impressions were when we first started looking at it. And it's like, I would not recommend it at all unless you had a flash intro with no text or something like that to be a little bit cool. But not as this, especially since you have to scroll down to read the rest. It doesn't pop out.
That would work as a flash page if. But with a skip button on the top that got you to the first episode.
Jeez. Right. But
stresses me out.
But it looks pretty good. And we'll have to see. It updates daily. So can't say too much right now, but you know but I do have to say the text is gonna kill you because when you go right your current page, your update for the week is a big text block image.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm gonna come back a couple days later looking for the next episode, and I get two words on a blank paper. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
How long did it take you to type that out?
That has to be a week before the next one. Yeah.
Just
if you can do that,
the pick up and down. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the major critic here. Your comic page should not just be text, especially the same color as the background of your site. But Well, that's just how some of our searchlights go. You get kind of bad impressions, sometimes good mixed within it, but mostly all from a reader's point of view. As in, you know, of course, we're not professional webcomicers in the least, but we know what we like as far as reading webcomics goes, and
well,
that's how it is.
We read a million of them, it seems like, too. So
yeah. So sorry that we didn't really read it as much, but you can kind of see the searchlight is more so designed for a first impressions kind of thing, and you kind of got our first impressions. But I will come back, and I'll continue reading this to see if it gets better, and if you stop doing these text images. So. But aside from that, I think we have anything more to talk about this week. We got a couple of things planned for the coming weeks. We're still trying to figure some things out, some people we want to talk to get on the show, talk about Wood Forever. If you guys have any ideas for topics that you think that we should cover, something that may involve getting a guest or not, something that a lot of people have heard of, in particular, because those help draw numbers. But we got ideas for covering Lego webcomics in the future, as well as possibly looking at noir or like gothic like webcomics. I'm in some talks with a few people. And so it should be some pretty interesting stuff or whatever. So send those in. And also, if there's anybody out there with... Actually, Aaron, I think you could take this and tell us about our rescues.
Okay. Well, I pull up that spiel really quick. I completely redid my website, so it's all completely redone. So I'd let you know that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So, are you hating your comic right now? Do you want to quit? Are you thinking about throwing your comic off a bridge? Well, don't do it, because if you send us your URL, title, genre, style, update schedule, reason for why you're doing your comic, and reason for why you think you're stuck, and if we help you, how long you still plan on doing it, then please send all that to Fess's email address at fessesemailaddress.com.
Oh, it's webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and tell us about it, and maybe we'll have you on our show. If not, you might end up on Jerry Springer or Geraldo.
What we are offering is a 20-minute brainstorm session to have a little fun with and see if we can motivate you and get you back in your game. We're not going to sit here and tell you what to do, but we're hoping that you can get some new ideas going and start doing what you want to do. Or restart doing what you want to do.
Yeah, and we won't take ownership of it. You have to keep drawing the comic, and we won't be like, you have to give us money now. Which, well, it would be nice if you thought about maybe giving us some money for helping you restart your comic.
Or just money, even if we don't. You know, we'll take any kind of money.
Yeah, it's really expensive. All these radio transmitters
to transmit
this show all over.
And the bribes. Man, the bribes.
Yeah, gotta bribe the FCC so we don't get shut down.
All right. Well, that's it for the Webcomic Beacon this week. If you want to see more, go to webcomicbeacon.com/live each week, because we broadcast these shows while we record them. So you can listen to all the really errors and crappiness that is the show. But of course, the MP3 comes out, and it's much more clearer of crappiness for your listening enjoyment. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
Aaron, TebowComic.com, brand new website, looks awesome.
Mike.
And guy from WebWagon Webcomic.
Mike.
Mike.
I'm sorry, I'm just totally thrown off here.
Okay, this has been Mike from WagonWebcomicBattle.com/card game and my various spinoffs. Come buy my cards, please.
Okay, Mike, go ahead, do your own. I'm going to edit this. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, good telly.
Go! Go!
It's been going about half an hour. Okay.
Mike, what? Say who you are and your website.
It's Mike from WagonWebcomicBattle.com.
Thanks for coming this week, everybody. Come back next week for another episode.
Yay.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Yeah, I think somebody should do a synopsis about the wars because it's a year ago and...
Synopsis would take a whole hour, Hogan.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, we can't do a synopsis. There is no bloody way we can get a synopsis done in under 30 minutes.
Oh, well, 50 crazy artists, 1,500 trips, but lots of crazy plots, 9 months of work. That's it.
Days are like all of the others. Go to work, come back home, watch TV. But brother, if I had me druthers, I'd shuck it and head out to sea. For I dream of the skull and the crossbones. I dream of the great day to come when I dump the mundane for the old Spanish main and trade me computer for rum. Ardmeo, ho, yo, ho, it's talk like a pirate day. When laptops are benches, God gave us for wenches and a sail ain't a low price to pay. When timbers are shivered and lilies are livered and every last buckle is squashed, we'll abandon our cars for a ship full of ours and pound back the grog till we're sloshed, yo-ho.
Hey, anybody see me keys? Just off the coast of Florida, matey.